Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. KQED is one of the most listened to public radio stations in the country, and it owes a large part of its success to Vice President and General Manager Joanne Wallace. She joined KQED in 1990 from NPR and immediately worked to expand the station's news department by extending Forum to 2 hours in the morning and creating the California Report, the station's statewide news radio program. While at NPR, she played a key role in bringing shows like Car Talk and Fresh Air to national audiences. And this month, after nearly 50 years in public radio, Joanne Wallace is retiring. And in this segment, we're going to talk to her about her career and her thoughts about the future of public media. And welcome, Joanne.
I'm happy to join you.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. Glad you're retiring and entering a new chapter, but of course, it's a real loss to us, but we'll see you around. I don't think we're going to be saying an entire goodbye to you.
Well, Michael, I use the word leaving. I'm leaving KQED because I'm planning to do consulting work with national producers and stations interested in working on building their audiences in news and information and building their content as well.
Well, boy, you've had a remarkable career on those scores and one that really I've been privileged to be a part of for, well, 25 years and counting. It's also been a career which had a great deal to do with it not only advancing this radio station to really be a leader in this market and throughout the country, but also with establishing a certain kind of tone, which leadership does, and leadership has certainly done under your aegis. I want to talk about maybe the early visions you had for this program, for this radio station. Not for this program, I said there was no Freudian slip there. I mean, this is a one-hour program, and it was kind of way down in the marketplace, and here we are.
Well, let me start with the 80s at NPR. I was in the news division at NPR from 1980 to 89, and it was a time of true expansion of NPR's news and information service. And Morning Edition went on the air in 1979. All Things Considered had begun in 1971. And the strategy, the focus of a lot of the work we did my work was included in that, was to build a larger portfolio of programs, news and information, spoken word programs, that stations all across the country like ours could begin to use and create a daily service of news and information that spanned the hours between Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And so programs like Forum, which were just a natural for us to expand and improve and move into a much better time slot. When it began, it was a one-hour program. I inherited a one-hour program at 11 o'clock in the morning. And moving it...
Not exactly drive time.
Moving it into drive time and adjacent to Morning Edition and expanding it to 2 hours and convincing you to join the station in 1993 were just the right thing to do at the time, and it's proved to be a very successful stream of programs across the day, weekdays, and interesting programs on the weekends.
But you had a track record before you came here. I mean, with suggesting Weekend Edition and suggesting that Click and Clack, the Thabit brothers, go on National Public Radio, which I think was a little bit of a struggle for you. I don't know if they were all buying a Car Talk show, but public radio listeners certainly across the country came to know the voices of Car Talk, Magliozzi brothers. And over the decades that it was on the air, national audiences would never have heard those two brothers if it hadn't been for Joanne Wallace, who acquired the show for NPR. This is from the first ever national episode of Car Talk on NPR.
Not a matter of how lucky you are. It's a matter of whether you've led a good life. You lead a good, clean life, and you do not need extended warranties.
Is that tonight's wisdom?
That's tonight's wisdom. That's right.
I know I get chuckles out of you with that. Brings back a lot of memories
great.
For listeners,
That's
too.
Terrific.
Well, speaking about great and terrific, one thing that KQED listeners certainly probably have noticed is how many journalists who came through here have ended up on NPR. The list is long, probably too long. And Joanne, we wanted to also play a message for you from some of them.
This is Tamara Keith. I am a White House correspondent at NPR, former reporter at KQED, and before that, former intern at KQED.
Hey, this is Elsa Chang. I am now host of All Things Considered at NPR, and I can't even believe I'm saying that out loud.
Hey, Joanne, it's Jason Beaubien, one of your newsroom interns from 1992. I'm now actually working over at Planet Money, done a lot in public radio, and a lot of it comes from the great experience that I was able to get at KQED.
From day one, I just felt like everybody in that station was so welcoming and so encouraging, including you, Joanne.
There's a lot of us floating around who worked under you in some way as interns or reporters or in some other capacity. You've done a ton for people in public radio.
She has been such a steady hand, fighting for radio, fighting for KQED. Because of that, I can't imagine it without her.
Thank you so much, and I hope you really enjoy this next chapter in your life.
Well, let's talk about these.
What an amazing segment.
Well, credit, of course, goes to Dan Zoll and our great team here. Christina, our new producer.
Yes, Christina Kim.
Let's talk about how Car Talk came into birth, though.
I would be happy to tell you the story. I was at WGBH radio
in Boston
from 1978 through 1980. And while I was there, I listened to the competition across Boston at WBUR radio. And Car Talk was a program that the Malyazzi brothers broadcast 2 hours every Saturday morning. And they spun the records and told jokes and talked about car repair and took call-ins.
I have to apologize for giving them the hard G there.
And when I started it at NPR, the station manager, whom I knew well, called me and in her main accent said, "Joanne, I think we should make Car Talk a national program." And we did. She created a one-hour program with the Malyazzis, and I persuaded the senior vice president for programming, or I thought I would persuade him, to acquire it from WBUR. He was reticent to do it. And so to actually make it happen, I went to the senior vice president for news, who was my boss, and said, "Let's make this a news and information show. It's all about car repair and relationships." And he, Robert Siegel, who was head of news at the time, said yes. So the rest is history.
Yeah, and they did make it about relationships. That was the interesting thing that occurred over the course of time. You were also, get back to your pedigree here in terms of station managing. You go all the way back to 1973, WYSO, one of only four women station managers.
At the time, yes.
Yeah.
Well, public radio was brand new at the time.
And that was in Yellow Springs, right?
It was in Yellow Springs, yeah. At Antioch College. Yeah. And there, in some respects, there was an advantage to be one of four women in 1973, who were station managers at public radio stations across the country. There were not many public radio stations at the time. I think there were 90. And the women's movement was very strong in those days. And I think partly as a result of that, those who were holding national conferences and national meetings understood that they needed to invite at least one of us to those meetings. And I was invited to many national conferences and meetings across the country, partly because our little station at Antioch was very experimental. And I think that there was an appreciation of that among leaders at NPR and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
We're talking with Joanne Wallace, who is vice president and general manager of KQED-FM, and John Boland, the CEO of KQED, said she has been indeed one of the most successful station managers in the nation. That was a humble beginning down there in Yellow Springs, but you've shepherded so many people. We heard those voices which are certainly recognizable to any regular and not so regular NPR listener or KQED listener and so forth, and it must be a great deal of pride.
You know, I was thinking about this conversation with you, Michael, and one story I want to tell is that I think public radio in its beginnings in the early 70s was really an effort among a lot of us to create a movement, not a political movement, but a movement in radio to grow and expand excellent news and information programming and programming that reflected the national concerns all across the country that public stations all around the country, public and community stations, were in touch with. And we've actually done it. There are more than 800 stations now, public radio stations, who are members of National Public Radio. Now, that includes translator stations and stations like ours, KQEI in Sacramento. But it really is the result of, I think, a very successful movement that we all signed on for, even though we didn't know we were doing that.
Plus, when you came aboard here, there was a transition that was taking place from essentially a music station, classical music station. There were a lot of people who were very angry about the move to, you got a lot of that flack when you came in, didn't you, about the move to news and information?
I did. I got a lot of calls from listeners calling on me to dump the news and information format and return to classical music in between Morning Edition and All Things Considered. It was a gutsy move on the part of Tony Tiano, the former president of KQED, who really wanted to see if the radio station could be more successful than it had been. That is, serve larger audiences across the Bay Area than it had with its previous format. But it was risky. My understanding is that KQED was the first public or commercial station in the country to try a 24/7 news and information format on FM, because it was thought at the time that FM was, and this is in the radio industry, FM was a music medium, not a news and information medium.
And boy, do we prove them wrong, huh? Let me invite listeners to join us. If Joanne has a lot of history that she can recite here and has certainly been a major part not only of the growth of this radio station but NPR as well, and has sat on the board of National Public Radio and has been really much the general of the troops here. And if you have some thoughts or reflections or memories or questions, we certainly would like to hear from you. In fact, you can join us now. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Please feel free to join the program, 866-733-6786. Particularly like to hear from some of you fanatic public radio listeners who have some thoughts about reflecting. And I'll ask Joanne about some of the major moments as well as she recalls them and summons them to memory here. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click the segment on, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And a listener asks, what's the biggest change you've seen in public radio during your career? Well, you've kind of intimated a little
bit. Well, first of all, the development of all news and information stations around the country, not only in major markets, but in markets like Madison, Wisconsin, and Columbus, Ohio, and Austin, Texas. There are many of us now, and I think it's incredibly fortunate for audiences all across the country. And it's fortunate for us because, frankly, we all learn from each other as we try different programs and different ways of organizing our both broadcast schedule and the schedule that is repeated on the live stream that each of us distributes via the web. So that's one huge development. The other is the development of digital and how we, with our news organizations at each of the stations, are beginning to serve audiences that expect to find news and information digitally as well as via terrestrial broadcast.
I want to mention a couple of other things that you were very involved in. One was after the Gulf War, the launch of Talk of the Nation, and then after 9/11, and I was part of that, a national talk program that we did that was essentially disseminated to all the member stations.
Well, it's true. After the first Gulf War, we, and I say we collectively because both at NPR and I had just come to NPR, to KQED, we realized that we, as I was saying before, we needed more news and information programming, either that we produced or that NPR produced. And so the question was, what about a midday talk program? And Talk of the Nation was founded. John Hockenberry was the first host. And it became really a national conversation that was very, very important. And it was produced until, I think, summer of 2014. And then for budget reasons, it went off the air. 9/11 was an extraordinary, first of all, the day was extraordinary. And NPR did begin to go wall to wall with live continuous programming. They called us, and because they knew that they didn't have the capacity to do that for days and days and days, 24/7, and asked if Michael Krasny would be willing to do an evening two-hour program that followed the live format with call-ins and new information as it, and news as it was being discovered about what had happened in New York and in Washington. And Michael, I think you must have done double duty because I think you did morning work and you did the evening show as well.
I did. But I'm just struck by the remarkable range of what you've contributed over the years in your career. I mean, pushing to go live with emergency news, for example, and all of those highlights that you think of, not only after 9/11, but after the takeover of the embassy in Tehran. I mean, assassination attempts on Sadat, on Ronald Reagan, on the Pope, the Challenger. I mean, you know, these are the things that we covered and that we covered, I think, really well and can, again, stand up proudly in reflection of. But your role in this is really considerable, and we owe you a great debt of gratitude. Sean tweets, I still listen to Car Talk.
And I'm happy to hear that.
Heather writes, Forum and the California Report are my absolute favorite programs. I learned so much from both of them. Thank you, Joanne, for being a woman we can look up to. And Hala says, enjoy your retirement. Let's bring some callers in here, and let's begin with Ariel from San Francisco. Good morning.
Morning. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I have such fond memories of being in the car with my father, listening to Car Talk. My father's now passed, and I still listen to the show, and it provides me a little connection to him. My question was, with the increased polarization of our news sources, where do you guys see the future of NPR and its role in that environment? I'll take my question off the air.
All right. Thank you for the question. Joanne.
I think the mission both of NPR and I would include KQED in that is to attempt to and really push ourselves to create conversations with people who across the country, in NPR's terms, and for us here in the Bay Area and regionally across the state of California, create conversations with people whose views are polarized, and understand where those polarizations come from. Are they economically driven? Are there concerns about jobs? Are there concerns about people of various races? And if that is the case, which is one of the hardest things for us to look at, how do we bring people together to, again, support the idea of a nation of citizens all across the country?
I think about our mission often in terms also of factual reporting and really top-drawer journalism, but also education. I mean, public broadcasting was originally supposed to be all about education, and I think it still fulfills that role to a great extent on so many levels. Here's a TC who asks, what is the next Car Talk? Can you some thoughts about that? Or?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm a real fan of Car Talk, and not only its beginnings, but its many years of being on the air. And one of the reasons is my theory is that listeners across a weekly schedule are quite committed to listening to and understanding and thinking about news and issues as they develop across the week. By about Thursday night, I think, people are headed for the weekend and are thinking about what they'll do with their kids and what books they might buy or read and what movies they might see. And programs like Car Talk are entertainment, fun. Yes, public radio listeners like to have fun. And, I think there's a real role for that kind of spoken word programming in a news and information lineup.
I just did an event for City Arts and Lectures, another one of the partnerships that you fostered with the late Sidney Goldstein, of so many partnerships. I was on stage with Peter Sagal, and it was fun, to talk to him, obviously. But it's fun for listeners, especially. I mean, there's this appreciative sense of wait, don't tell me, and what it brought into their lives, and also turned out to be somewhat enlightening. I was also thinking yesterday when I was in conversation with Neil Conan, who was on Forum second hour yesterday, about how important our role is in telling stories. It's what a lot of journalism is all about, of course. Mm-hmm. But I remember, and he was furious, of course, when Talk of the Nation was taken off. But he spoke about the importance many times, I remember, when he was hosting, of telling stories. Let me bring some more of our callers on, and we go, Michaela, to you. Michaela, hi.
Hi, thank you, Joanne, very much. And Michael, I'm most appreciative. I have a question about the local membership fundraising model. It seems to be at odds with the more global national 800 station model for the scope of what NPR has become. Could you talk about that, please, from a sustainability point of view and make it more transparent? Because right now it just seems very opaque and confusing. Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you for the question, Michaela.
Yes, and thank you. It's a very thoughtful question, I think, because when we are in on-air pledge fundraising mode, we do interrupt programs. For example, in Forum, in its terrestrial broadcast, is interrupted. And the question is that wise in terms of serving our listeners with as much thoughtful news and information programming as possible? What we know is that on-air fundraising and requests to the audience, and our audience does range between 850 and 900,000 listeners a week. So there's huge reach that this station has. Asking our audience to charitably donate to KQED this audience can listen to KQED for free if they want. The success of actually on-air asking people to pledge and support the station is probably the most successful way that we have of raising funds. And membership support makes up about 60% of KQED's annual revenues. So one other thing to say, and that is that we are experimenting with digital fundraising on KQED.org, and we hope to grow digital fundraising and fundraising with members who come into us digitally, because we know that our audience is migrating slowly, but migrating to digital use of KQED, the live stream, for example, and segments and podcasts. So we're hoping that digital fundraising in the future will succeed.
Well, if there were another method to raise funds, remember the auctions, some of you with long memories, we would do it probably. But let's get Peggy on next. Peggy, welcome.
Good morning, Joanne. It's Peggy Berryhill from KGUA, and I just wanted
to
congratulate you.
Hey.
I just want your audience to know as well that although you're a trailblazer and known in large as NPR, Joanne has also been a great supporter of small community radio, small public radio, and thanks to you, our station here in Gualala, in the southern tip of Mendocino County, gets to carry Forum and other programs. And I'm just a great fan of yours, so I just had to call in and say thank you for everything that you have done, and I know you will continue to do for public and community radio.
Peggy, thank you so much. It means a lot to me to hear your voice from Gualala. And Peggy is the founder of KGUA, a a station, a public radio station that serves the listeners and residents of Gualala. And Peggy, I think you are the only broadcast station that reaches your community.
Well, I'm the only community radio station and the one of the few native-owned radio stations in public radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy, for the call.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
We'll go to another caller in Petaluma. David, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, my name is David Baldwin. I was the first development director for KQED-FM. I worked for Al Holson between 1981 and 1986. And we planned our first on-air fundraiser, and our goal was $35,000. And everybody thought it would fail. And instead, we raised the enormous sum of $66,000. And then I think KQED Incorporated saw that there was some potential here and then an opportunity to grow the radio station. And
David, let me interrupt you just to say, you know, there's so many of these stories of debt and involvement with Joanne's leadership. We could probably do them all day long and everything.
It's great to hear from David. That's a historical note that I had never heard about. I do know Al Holson. He was a fine station manager here at KQED. Thank you for that.
Thank you, David. Well, they raised twice as much as they expected. We would like to do that and continue to do that when the time comes around. Here's a tweet from a listener named Reed. This is Joanne. Thank you for your contributions to the cultural intelligence of us radio listeners, for the 24-hour information format, for your mentorship of talent, and the gift of Michael Krasny. He says with blush, you have helped make KQED the greatest station ever.
Thank you.
And how many times can we say thank you to you? I mean, you know, so many are in your debt, including yours truly.
I'm honored to hear all of these comments and to be in conversation with you, Michael.
Well, it's been an honor to be with you and certainly to work with you, and a privilege indeed, and to have a friendship which endures and which I cherish.
I agree.
Thank you for being a part of this morning's program, and we're about to sign off. I get a little misty sometimes thinking about the past, talking about it. Hate to see Joanne leave, but she's going on to better things, we hope, in another chapter in her life. And we'll be back with you, if all goes according to plan, on the morrow. Stay tuned. Listen to this radio station. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.